Fish Radio.
The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends, no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger, and I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode. The topic of this episode is how to cope with failure. Today, Monday, is the 28th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to chapter Al-Imran, verse 92.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم.
Never will you attain the good reward until you spend in the way of Allah from that which you love. And whatever you spend, indeed Allah is knowing of it.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Following the promise given as to the recompense and reward for deeds, the blessed verse in question is saying that God Almighty bestows further favors upon those who have refrained from committing grave sins. Abstention from committing grave sins leads to forgiving their lesser sins. It is worthy of note that persistence in committing lesser sins turns them into grave sins.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
As usual, let's follow our topic, coping with failure and loss. Failure is part of being human. Suffering, defeat is something that everybody goes through. However, not everybody knows how to accept defeat gracefully and move on. Moving on to success is only possible if we become more resilient and find a way to turn failure into motivation. When we feel defeated, we must not struggle against it. Rather, we must accept the outcome. It is okay to feel disappointed, but we must try to move past that and shift into learning mode. We cannot learn from our defeats and failures if we beat ourselves up, feel sorrow for ourselves. Instead, accept that it is time to learn something new that will help you along the road to success.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to cope with failure. Now we find that those people who have experienced something unfavorable should remind themselves of the causes of those failures in order not to commit them anymore, in order not to repeat them anymore. And after that, people are expected to forgive themselves. Although we shouldn't blame other people for our failure or for other, unfavorable consequences we may receive. According to Jean Hammett, we have to be in a state of forgiving ourselves and pardoning ourselves in order to start to give ourselves another start and to experience another go in this regard. In order to give ourselves the spirit of going at another go, we have to be very much hopeful, and in order to do it, we are expected, to please ourselves, to do something that pleases us, because this type of pleasure and this type of, giving hope to ourselves go hand in hand. At the same time, we find that we have to be grateful to the blessings we have and to the virtues we have. It's really incredible to imagine that, for example, a person who has experienced a kind of failure or any kind of failure in any context doesn't have any merit or any virtue. Everybody is credited with having some virtues, and some of them may be specifically available in one person. The point is that we have to be able to identify our own merits and our own characteristics, our own vantage points, and we have to be able to understand that we have some abilities, some capabilities, and we can be a source of help both to ourselves and to other people.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
Now, how to cope with failure according to psychology. Don't worry too much if you were overconfident and wrong. Overconfidence is not a good thing. It leads us to study less hard and make more mistakes. But let's say you take an exam and test feeling convinced that you are on top of the material and are getting pretty much everything right, only to receive a poor grade. Your initial confidence was clearly misplaced, no doubt. It was at least partly responsible for your failure. However, there's plenty of evidence that the surer you are about an answer that turns out to be wrong and is corrected, the better you'll remember the correct answer and use it in future. This at least was one of the conclusions of a 2017 review of work on learning from errors at Columbia University. A strong degree of belief in the truth of one's errors makes them more rather than less susceptible to being correctable.
Just the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Benefits of failure. This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special. One of the benefits of failure is about building perspective. So failure builds perspective. People who rebound after failure develop a better perspective on the reasons why they failed. They are more likely to blame the failure on something they did incorrectly, which can be changed or corrected for the next attempt. People who are badly affected by failing usually blame personal qualities such as not being clever enough, or they feel they don't deserve success. Another benefit is failure can make you work harder. Successful people have often said that their biggest failures became their greatest inspiration. They are refused to be beaten by failing and start again with even more self-motivation to succeed.
Success, something we yearn, strive, and fight for from the moment we realize what life is. Scholars say that a young man becomes mumayyiz before the age of puberty, meaning that he understands life concepts and life values. Thus, Islam recommends that we recommend to our kids they start praying and fasting from an early age before the age of puberty, because we as human beings, we start to understand life from a very early age. And from a very early age, we can see signs of success in different individuals in our community. And we start to value success. So every single human being, we will yearn, strive, and fight for success from that age to the time we depart from this world. Even an old man at the age of 90, he fights for success. For success. He wants to be successful every day till the last moment and his last breath. Alike, the topic and the issue of love that millions and millions of authors wrote about and talked about, and millions of articles were written for, because just like love that every single one of us strive for to find in our lives, whether it is a life of another person, a spouse, or life of an entity that is more powerful than us, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or our love for our imams, peace be upon them. But we're in constant search of love. And we are in a constant search for ways to improve ourselves towards the path of success. So other people can say, yes, this person is successful. You can stand in the mirror and say, Alhamdulillah, I can stand here today and say, I am successful. We as humans value success. And life's meaning is how much success we have had in this life. We value one another based on each other's success. This is how man values one another and himself when it comes to this dunya.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله
food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about contemplating on a beautiful statement from the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him? Certainly, these people have come to staunchly obey Satan and given up on obeying the compassionate. They showed mischief, stopped acting in accordance with Islamic laws, took Muslims' property for themselves, made the haram designated by Allah halal, and turned his halal into haram.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There was a very famous poet during the time of Imam Ridha alayhi salam who visited the Imam when the Imam was in the city of Marv, taken there by Ma'mun al-Abbasi. The poet's name was Di'bil. He was a staunch follower of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and his poetry till today is known in terms of his love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. There's even a particular poem which he recited in the presence of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and the Imam added two stanzas to it. You know, it is, you know, worthy of my dear listeners, of our dear listeners, to go and find this poetry that the Imam adds about the city of or rather his own grave in Khorasan. So the Imam alayhi salam, in speaking to this companion of his, this great poet of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the Imam says that I desire and I love that you recite for me poetry. You know, it is something that I find comforting, that you recite this poetry for me. And obviously, the Imam alayhi salam, in hearing this poetry, would cry, would remember his grandfathers, would remember his ancestors. For surely these days of the month of Muharram, so now this is specifically in the month of Muharram, that Imam Ridha alayhi salam is asking one of the great poets of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to recite poetry regarding Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, so that the Imam can remember, so that the Imam can tear, the Imam can cry. These days of the month of Muharram are the days of grief and sorrow. This is something for us to really, really ponder upon. That, you know, the Imams alayhi salam, as we saw from Imam Kazim alayhi salam, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, from Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha. You know, even after that event, you know, it is a month of grief. Yes, we do not experience this time as they do, but we should try, you know, and accompany the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, in this period of grief. As the month of Muharram are the days of grief and sorrow which have passed over us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So again, we see the emphasis on poetry, the emphasis on remembrance, the emphasis on crying. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are able to cry a true tear, and to remember a true remembrance, and to make others remember in a proper manner and in a true manner, inshaAllah, in order to make us of the true soldiers and of the true supporters of Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And assalamu alaikum to all of you who are listening to this program.
Thank you, brother.
I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. We are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran, and then we're going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting segments. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. This outstanding Egyptian reciter was born in 1927, and his father Abdul Samad was a teacher of tajweed and memorizing of the Holy Quran. He is known as having a pure golden voice, and this is because of the beauty of his voice. Sheikh Abdul Basit has used all three registers of his voice in some of his recitations. And you know that the three registers are Qarar, Jawab, and Jawab al-Jawab. That is low register, middle register, and high register. This prominent Qari passed away in 1988 at the age of 61. May Allah bless his soul. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad reciting Suratul Haqqa from the very beginning to the end of verse 8, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy. كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. The reality. What is the reality? And what will make you know what the reality is? Thamud and Ad people denied the striking hour. As for Thamud, they were destroyed by the awful cry. And as for Ad, they were destroyed by a furious, violent wind.
هل ترى لهم من باقية صدق الله العظيم
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Haqqa from verse 1 to the end of verse 8, recited by Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Okay, this is a very beautiful surah. because the beginning of this surah has three haqqas, which has madul lazim, and the mad is followed by a letter of shiddah, so it shows how shattering that day is.
Actually, the word itself helps to convey the meaning.
That's true. And we have madul lazim for these three haqqas. Al-haqqah, mal-haqqah, wa ma adraka mal-haqqah. So you have to lengthen these madul lazims to six vowel counts. Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice of four or five vowel counts.
Because there's a tashdeed, actually.
Because of the tashdeed, yes. And وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ, we have a madul munfasil here, it's a disjunct mad. Sheikh Abdul Basit lengthens this mad to five vowel counts. Mm-hmm. So that in total there are how many mads? Four mads. Three al-haqqas and one وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ, we heard the ta of كَذَّبَتْ
clearly.
It's very difficult because you have a ta followed by a fa, mm-hmm. and their place of articulation is close to each other.
And you have to take care not to pronounce them with qalqala.
The ta with qalqala. Yeah, and the ta does not merge into the fa, because in some riwayas we have kadhabath thamudu, but not in hafs. Mm-hmm. You have to pronounce the ta and the fa separately. وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ, وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ, which is إِقْلَاب of نُون ساكنة.
That's right.
Okay. The noon turns into a meme with إِخْفَاء.
And then...
You don't close your mouth completely. This meme has to be pronounced with إِخْفَاء, which means that the mouth is not completely closed. There is a small space between the lips, and a nasal sound is made for two vowel counts.
Yes.
فَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَأُهْلِكُ بِالطَّاغِيَةِ, we have a ta with the highest level of tafkhim.
The strongest letter with the highest level of tafkhim.
Because it has an alif, aliful mad. بِرِيحٍ, we have a ra with tarqiq. بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةً, the sad has tafkhim at the second highest level.
Yes. And the Ra?
And the Ra has Tarqiq. The first Ra has
tafkhim. Yes.
The second Ra is has to be pronounced with Tarqiq.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned. IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran.
Recitation.
Tajweed points.
Reciter's biography.
Quranic books.
Maqamat.
Translation.
Alhan.
Short lecture.
All
in Let's Recite the Quran.
The audience, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Salim Binji.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today in our tradition, we want to look at another statement from the beloved messenger of God, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, in which he speaks about three specific blessings which will be given to those who listen to the Quran. And in the tradition for today from the noble messenger, he wishes to share the following piece of information as has been narrated in the books of traditions. And the Prophet has been reported to have said the following. One who listens to the Quran while it is being recited will be kept away from the evils of this world. And one who recites the Quran will be kept away from the trials of the hereafter. And the person who listens to even one verse of the Book of Allah, this is better for him than possessing a mansion of gold. Here we see that the beloved Prophet is giving us again a metaphysical blessing, something that perhaps we cannot quantify or physically comprehend in the life of this transient world. But he's giving us a promise of three specific things which are in store for the individual who listens to the Quran being recited. And as we mentioned, that the blessings are there even for the people who listen to the Quran, because this is the word of God. As the Quran itself says, it is a mercy, it is a healing, it is a cure for what is in our hearts, what ails us. And so the Prophet tells us at the first level that we will be kept away from evils of this world through the recitation, through listening to the recitation of the Quran. At the second level, he tells us that the difficulties of the world to come, the trials of the hereafter, will also be removed, will be alleviated from this individual who listens to the Quran. And last but not least, he says that to listen to even one verse of the Book of God to be recited would be better for us than having a mansion of gold. Now again, these are metaphysical realities. These are not things that we can perhaps necessarily quantify and feel within our hands or understand through the senses that we have been given. But you know, we take the word of the Prophet and we take his explanation in this particular tradition to give us this understanding of the importance of listening to the Quran, that we will be kept away, as he says, from the evils of this world. And we know that there are so many evils, problems, challenges that are facing and that can face an individual. And one of the ways to try to alleviate these evils is to listen to the Quran. Obviously, as we have spoken about in the past, and we repeat again, that this is only the first step in appreciating the Quran, is to listen to it. We need to actively recite the Quran and actively work to understand the content of the Quran. It's not enough just to hear it, but rather, because the Quran is a book of guidance, it is a book of inspiration, it is a book of wisdom, then the ultimate goal should be to gain knowledge, insight, wisdom, spiritual proximity to our Creator through connecting to this holy book. As the Prophet also says, is that to protect ourselves and to ward off the calamities of the world to come, the hereafter, is also to be in connection and constant touch with the noble Quran. And he closes off by telling us that this book is so valuable, it is so beautiful, it has so much eloquence and elegance to it, and it should be so beloved to us, that it is better than having a mansion full of gold to hear one verse of the Quran being recited. You know, this just gives us an understanding of what kind of a reward Allah has in place for us who listen to the Quran, that were we to have, on one hand, to listen to one verse of the Quran, and on the other hand, to possess a home, a mansion made out of gold, the Messenger shows us that it would be better to recite and to listen to one verse of the Quran.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World, and as I say, changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated and devoted to the life of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. We're discussing some very interesting points with my guest, Dr. Hassani, on, you know, why aren't there more Imam Khomeini's? Of course, Islam came to perfect humanity. And there's one very interesting aspect which really is a phenomenon not understood from a materialistic point of view. And I myself, personally, am witness to this. I didn't know anything about this great man. I never understood anything about this great man. I didn't know one iota of where this man was born.
I hate to say you to this. I have to admit it. We still don't know about so many
thank you for that.
Things.
Thank you for that, Doctor. I don't wish to
and
make...
I don't just say that to be humble. Or
no, no. We are I'm just saying... We genuinely truth, mean that. Because, yes. As I say, even to this day, as you... Why are we having these programs? Because we want to go into depth about a man that perhaps we still know very little or nothing about. But the thing that I wanted to point out was that I was 16 at the time, and the first impact that this gentleman made on me...
As a teenager,
was that I was reminded of prophets in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't come really from an Islamic background. I came from a more or less a Christian background. And I was impressed by the fact that this is the first time in the 20th century, or in a long time, for many generations, that's the first time I've seen a personality that really, really reminded me both of Allah and of his prophets. But the most important thing I felt was love. I felt I had to know this man. I felt I had to leave my home country 4,500 miles away. I may be exaggerating the distance. I don't know. It may be 5,000 miles. It depends on your flight and how you get to Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I had to come here. I had to come to the very land, the very country in which this man was born, to find out what was this thing that he placed into my soul, into my heart, that made me love him. Can you explain something about that for me, Dr. Hassani?
Yes, honesty.
Honesty.
His honesty.
Yeah. Honesty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Let's not get sophisticated,
yeah.
Complicated.
Sure.
Let's not get entangled with words.
Sure.
He was honest. Ask me with whom?
With whom, yeah.
With himself first.
Exactly.
He knew himself.
And if you know yourself, you know your creator.
And if you know yourself, you know your creator.
Creator.
There's a hadith.
Yes, that's right.
Man arafa nafsa.
Please quote it.
Faqad arafa rabba. But I have to make a point about this.
Please.
Very important and significant tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is that unfortunately, I say this with the bottom of my heart, as a Muslims, we have all the values,
quite
the sources, the true sources of knowing and enjoying the beautiful life that God gave us, but we don't use it to the level. All the traditions, all the, you know, the Quranic verses, we only get a piece of it, maybe the beginning, we forget about the end, or vice versa. Mm. And we don't think about that.
Well,
brother, the only difference between us, just like I mentioned in the other program,
sure,
and different creation, different creatures, is the power of thinking in a true sense. This is why Quran, talking about fikr, talking about aql, talking about tadabbur, which is different level of thinking.
Thinking.
In order to think, you have to become quiet first.
Yes.
You have to become silent. We have a tradition to mention this.
That's right.
How can you listen to something if you always talk?
Exactly.
You have to find an isolate place with yourself, which is within yourself, actually. We're not talking about only material here.
No.
We're not talking about the physical aspect of being alone.
Mm.
You can be in a gather, but be alone.
Mm.
Thinking about your own stuff. And you can be alone, but working with the universe. We're working with the creation.
Could I just throw something at you, just right there and then, that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, mentions that if you are in silence, as the silence that you refer to, which is a silence in which to acquire wisdom, do it for 40 days, and it will pour out of you. In other words, we're not alone.
No, we're
you're
not.
You're alone with your Creator.
Exactly.
Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, I wanted to quote this from the Bible.
And if you are alone with your Creator, you are everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing about the prophets, that I used to read about them in the Bible, that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, used to go away for 40 days and 40 nights, as it's quoted in the Bible, alone in the desert. For what? I mean, that's something that, you know, the Christians don't come back with.
As they say, something to think about.
Something to think about. Exactly. And he went to do his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where he poured out as the master, the teacher. When he came back to Jerusalem after those 40 days, that was the wisdom that was being quoted in the book.
He was a different person.
He was a totally different person.
He got the vision.
He got the vision.
When you get, brother, when you get the vision, you get the mission. Imam is somebody with special, unique, divine mission. Back to the tradition. Man arafa nafsa.
Yes.
Those who get to know themselves, their true sense, which is soul.
Soul.
Faqad arafa rabba. Most surely, they get to know their Lord, their sustainer, who happens to be a creator.
Exactly.
The point about this very significant tradition is this. This tradition is not talking about something about impossible. Because when you're talking about God, they say, oh, you cannot get to know him. Because he is infinite. How can a finite phenomena, thing, material, whatever.
Well, this is what philosophers come up with, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not trying to get philosophical about it.
Yeah.
Not.
No.
This is not the point of this program.
No.
I'm trying to explain it as simple as possible. This is another... If you want to mention it down,
we'll do that.
Imam Khomeini was simple in a true sense. The same way that Quran is simple. Quran talks to an ordinary person because Quran is, is the book of guidance.
Yes.
Wants to take you from A to B without any damage.
Any damage. Without any... Yeah.
And at the same time, talking to ordinary person, but yet talking to the philosopher, to the historian, to whoever can understand a different level.
Exactly.
A deeper one.
Yes.
The point about this tradition, you're not talking about something impossible. Because if you get to know yourself, you get to know your sustainer.
Sustainer.
So the point about it is this. How are you going to get to know yourself? Think about it. I make it simple for you. I'm a weak person. If I know my weakness, the opposite of it, which is not weakness, which is power, which is total might, okay? God Almighty, we claim. You get to know the power of Allah. If you get to know the power of Allah, you are not going to be scared, as simple as that, I put it. If you're not scared of something, so what? You take steps to do things. You're not scared. You can take risk. You can be brave enough to take action. Nobody, you know, if they threaten you with sanction, or they say, as they say, this is a joke, everything, all the options on the table.
All
this is another program.
Yeah,
you know, we talk about
all options on the table.
On
which
Islamic
really
awakening
means that
and ethical freedom.
They don't have anything on the table.
Not, I mean, if you have something concrete, if you have something solid, you know, you don't constantly threaten somebody with it. You just do it.
You just do it.
You just come out and do it.
Exactly. I mean, that's...
Well, the thing is that they forget that our option is on the table at the same time.
That's right.
And our option is something way, way different than theirs, which is, we're talking about God here. Somebody you can rely on, somebody you can trust, and somebody who can do anything possible. So if you get to know yourself with weakness, you get to know him with great power. If you get to know yourself with lack of knowledge, you have to open a parenthesis, you know, to remember, then close the parenthesis.
Yes.
If you get to know yourself that you don't have the knowledge of everything, then you know your sustainer knows everything.
Everything.
And now Alim, he's the most knowledgeable one. Brother, all this word, this is not word. This is a reality.
That's right. I mean,
when you say God is Sami, it doesn't mean something that, you know, you think about material. God is not material.
No.
It means that he can hear everything.
Yeah.
He created everything.
To get back to the, you know,
to get to the point. Yeah.
That about Imam's personality. And
Imam, I started with saying he was honest.
Right. I want to get to that point. That honesty that created that love in my
And he was
heart.
Honest about himself. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. I mean, that honesty that, as you quite rightly say, about himself, again triggered mm-hmm. or made us rejuvenated about something we had forgotten.
It started our engine, our motor.
Exactly. And that motor was not that it was the love of Imam,
mm-hmm.
but it was to...
Very good point. You love Imam because of something else.
Yeah, exactly, because it had brought you back to your creator.
The credit goes to somebody else.
Somebody else. Because you're reminded...
Let's not forget,
yeah.
It doesn't mean that we don't appreciate things.
No, it
doesn't mean like that.
No.
Because we have a tradition again. Man lam yashkur al makhluq, lam yashkur al khaliq. Those who don't appreciate the creation of God, most surely they don't appreciate the creator. This is an obvious thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to challenge
and
that.
And as you say, that simplicity, that honesty, really
simplicity, I have to emphasize, I have to underline.
Yeah.
In a true sense.
Yes.
Because when you say something simple, remember when Imam was coming back from Paris after 15 years in
exile?
That's
right. Yes.
He's in the plane, sitting, you know.
Yeah.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, we look through the window of the plane. This journalist,
John Simpson,
whoever,
yeah.
ask him, what is your feeling? He says nothing. You know how many wrong interpretation they took out of this?
Oh, yes.
Let me explain that. When he said nothing, it means that I don't submit myself to some particular thing that if it changes, I would become ballistic about it. Think about what I just said.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything happens, hey, what is your feeling after 15 years or whatever, returning to your homeland? Nothing. Because I think about God. God is all the feeling.
Exactly.
God is all the mean. God is all the goal. You see, you get my point?
Well, that's exactly what we want to get to. That this beautiful personality was reminding us, because he, for the 20th century, became not the Imam of the Islamic Republic of Iran, but he became the representative for us.
By the way, he was Iranian. Only Iranian should love him.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting to.
He was Muslim. Only Muslim should love him.
But let me finish my point.
But that's not the case. Please, I'm listening.
Because the letter that went to John Paul II, the Pope of the second biggest...
That's a different story.
But we'll get to that. But the Pope, the leader of the second most dominant religious grouping, if you like, in the world, Catholicism, he writes a letter to them, and even the Pope has to be reminded that he's supposed to be representing God on earth.
That he should have a divine mission.
A divine mission.
Exactly.
And because the love that Imam Khomeini brought for so many people throughout the world,
true love,
was the love of the reminder of the Creator.
Creator. This is the whole point.
And that's what we're getting to.
And we can go on forever.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the perfection we are looking for.
Exactly. Where are you coming from? Where you are in? What the situation? What is the situation? And where are you going to?
So, Dr. Hasni, give us the manual now from the Imam's personality.
This is a good word, manual.
Yeah, the manual from the Imam's personality.
I like that.
Give us it in terms of that perfection. Because, of course, he's written books on this subject.
The reason I'm saying that, brother, because, you know, I'm listening to the word you're using. This one was a good one.
Yeah.
Brother, because I see Quran as a manual for humankind.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, I can give you another example. A factory which makes whatever, appliances,
sure.
You know, electronics, whatever. Let's say Sony and Sanyo, okay? They make these TVs and whatever.
Yeah.
For every device, they print a particular manual.
Yeah.
And no two factories makes a manual for a different one. Okay.
That's right. Quran
is a manual.
Yeah, Sony won't build for JVC.
And vice versa.
JVC or Sanyo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini's manual is learning Quran, get to know God, and follow the path.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.